Down the bottom of Tzadi Amud Bet. So the Gemara says, Tam Rabbanan, Eim Mutzim Perot Me'Eretz Yisrael. Now they take fruits out of Eretz Yisrael. Dvarim Sheish Ben Chayi Nefesh. Again, these are staple products, you know, basic necessities. You're not allowed to take them or export them out of Eretz Yisrael. You go and you know Shmanim V'Siltot. Same example that was used before, which is the wine, the oil, and the flour. Again, the idea to be to protect the pricing or the market pricing within Eretz Yisrael so that we don't create a shortness on supply. So we don't want you removing them. Says, why not? Send all the wine out. Right, the less wine, the better here in Eretz Yisrael, because it causes behavior that we're not so happy with. So we prefer if you export it and the price goes up, and that'll be a deterrent from people drinking wine. Shem Shmain Motzim Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, just like you can't take it from Eretz Yisrael into Chutz La'aretz, Kach Eim Motzim Eretz Yisrael to Surya. Surya, in this instance, has the same status as Chutz La'aretz. Surya has a mixed status that is both from inside. Sometimes it has a classification like Eretz Yisrael, sometimes outside. And the reason is because what the Rashbam speaks about over here is the Kibush Yachid Loshmei Kibush. That the area of Surya was conquered by David HaMelech, right? Those are the areas of Aram Tzova, Aram Tzaraim, and Aram Naraim. Those areas were conquered by David. What exactly the problem is when it was conquered by David, right? Why did it not have Kedusha? So there are two possibilities of what the issue is. One possibility is that it wasn't, David had not, or the ability to expand or extend the Kedushat Haaretz to other areas only happens once there's a complete kibush of Eretz Yisrael. And until you have a complete kibush of Eretz Yisrael, you cannot then go and extend or expand the borders. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he was not Shoel Be'urim Betumim. He did not, right, ask or get the full Haskama from Beis Din and from the Urim Betumim. He did it midato. Means kibush yachid, means literally. He was a yachid, he went out and did it on his own. Right, so the difference between those two answers will be whether a kibush yachid here, can a yachid actually establish, right, kedushat haaretz. So it might depend on whether you think the reason that it's not kadosh here is because the rest of Eretz Yisrael wasn't captured. Had it been captured, then a kibush yachid would have been fine. Right, or the other possibility is, no, that inherently a kibush yachid is problematic because it's a yachid, meaning that it's an individual going out and conquering it. You need the full force of Beis Din, you need Klal Yisrael, you need all the trappings to create Kedushat Haaretz, and therefore by definition a kibush yachid will not be able to generate that Kedusha. That's the interesting, you know, machlokas. We've seen it before between Rashi and Tosfot and other places here. The Rashba mentions it. Tosfot brings some of those reasons as well here. Now, Rabbi is matir mi hyperchia. He allows you to do it if there are two towns on the border, meaning that there's one in Eretz Yisrael and the first town outside in Surya, since they normally interact, meaning normally they are not considered to be exporting the material because they normally transact and have markets between each other. Therefore, it'd be okay to
Shabbat farms,
right? Right, which is interesting, right? How close, meaning how far out? Harpircha pircha means that seems to be that Surya is right on the border of Eretz Yisrael, which in the time of Rabbi, I'm not sure, right? That wasn't Beit Shan, was almost the end of what was Kedushat Haaretz at that time. So I don't know where he had this adjacency that he was talking about between Surya and Eretz Yisrael. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Im mistakrim be'Eretz Yisrael b'dorim sheish ben chayin nefesh. You're not allowed to make a business or profit out of items that are staple products in Eretz Yisrael. Kugon, you know, shmoni v'siltot. Same examples. So you can't. What we want to do is now obviously people can't sell things for free and they can't sell it for break even. So what does it mean that we don't want you profiting in Eretz Yisrael? So Rashbam says that we want to eliminate the middlemen. That we have to eliminate middlemen over here, which is a very, very interesting Rashbam, is Eim Mistakrin. If you look at the second Rashbam on the Amud here, Iknot Yain B'Shemen V'Siltot Mi Bala Bayit Limkor B'Shuk. You can't become a middleman. You can't become a wholesaler where you buy it from the owners or the planters of these materials. Ela Bala Bayit Mo Imkor L'Trichim. That he should sell it directly into the market, like he would sell it into a storekeeper. Meaning that we want to eliminate any middleman. We want to eliminate all the markup along the way.
So they bring down the price.
Right. So either they bring down or they somehow consolidate all that's out there, makes it easier for people to buy. But here he's saying that there's a markup at each person. Because umil liknot chitim lasot pat, if you buy wheat and then you make it into bread, mutar, that's okay. Given to yikra tircha shori. If you put a lot of effort into it, then we're okay for you for charging that effort. About limkor davar be'en, kamosha konel ta'ami balabait, asur. What we don't want you to do is trafficking, right, in materials where you add no value, right, in the sense to the product. You add no value to the product, you're simply a mover of product. So that we don't want asur. Because the Baalabayit can do the same thing without Torah, which might be explain, you know, the difference, which is that if it is a Torah and the Baalabayit can't do it without a Torah, then maybe the middleman, because in the end the Baalabayit will have to charge for the Torah that he does. So if he has to charge for the Torah and that becomes part of his cost, or he uses a middleman and that's the same, it's equal, then maybe it's not a problem. But they don't want people trafficking or marking up the product just because it's touched their hands or because they're involved with the product. So that way they keep, the idea again is to keep the prices low in Eretz Yisrael. He used to trade in Yayin and Shemin in Eretz Yisrael. So, b'yayin sevelah ke Reb Yehuda ben Beteira. In Yayin, he holds like Reb Yehuda ben Beteira, who said before that we prefer to have higher prices of wine in Eretz Yisrael. We prefer to have it exported because we don't like the outcome of people who are drinking wine or the behavior of people drinking wine. B'shemin, b'atrei Reb Elazar ben Azariah shchiach mishcha. So that in the town or the area where Reb Elazar ben Azariah is, that oil was plentiful, meaning that he had no impact on the market pricing. He didn't bring up the market pricing. So it's clear that the issue here is to ensure to make sure that the pricing in Eretz Yisrael is stable and low, so that it makes it appealing and easy for people to live here in Eretz Yisrael. So if whatever you do, if you're in business or doing something with these items in Eretz Yisrael, then as long as you don't affect those two principles, then it's okay to be in business.
So,
right, I mean, today it's done also. It's done in many countries. It's done on staple products, where they subsidize staple products in order to make it easier for the basic necessities of the household to be purchased. Tarabanan, Amy Stakrim Pamayim Bibetzim. Pamayim Bibetzim, you can't. We'll see in a second what it means. You're not allowed to be prophet twice in Beitzim. The question of what twice means. Amar Mari Bar Mari. Pligi Ba. That was a hard. I don't know how exactly got that. Mari Bar Mari. But Pligi Bar Rabu Shmuel.
There's a 5-month period
where,
the father could have passed away
before he was born. Right, it has to be this. Even Sfarim don't name after a father. At least it'd be Mari the Second or something. Sorry. Amar Mari Bar Mari. Pligi Bar Rabu Shmuel. So Rabu Shmuel argued about what this means. Pamayim Bibitzim. Chadamar Chad Shrei. Means that you can't double the price. I mean, one to two, and the other one says, "Chalamar Targa the Tigra." That's not, you can't be trading again. Middlemen are a problem here. So now it's interesting what the issue with Beitzim is. What's unique or particular to Beitzim? So if you look in the Rashi says Beitzim nearly mishum to Beitzim ein behem chayin nefesh kol kach. It's very interesting. It's not a staple product. It says eggs are not a staple product. V'gam torach merubah. It's a lot of work. V'revach muat, and you make little money, which is probably true. It's a lot of work to get these eggs. That don't make so much money. L'ani hamachzer b'ayarot, that he goes around. The ani who does all this has to go around the city selling all his eggs and all the effort that he puts in. Therefore, they allowed for a larger profit. I mean, they broke the paradigm of only profits of ishtut, because here the people who are trafficking in the eggs were poor people, and the amount of effort that needs to be expended in order to have to sell the eggs and go around to do all this work is not really so worthwhile. So in order to help the aniyim out, we allow them to have a garner a higher profit, and also to make a profit that's above the shtut that we had before. So now ad chadrei means that you have a cap, you can't double. I mean, that up to 100%, you have to be below 100% of the cost. So if you're buying it at a dinar, we don't want you selling it at 2 dinar. We want to sell it below 2 dinar. So that's the idea here. Again, it's a volume business. So for Ani to make money, if he takes 12 eggs and he's selling 12 eggs out, right, he's making so little money, So we want to allow him to make a bigger profit, but we want to have a limit, meaning that we don't want him more than doubling the price. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is Taga the Tigra, right, is again that you can't have multiple buyers and sellers along the way. I mean that merchants, the first merchants should sell it, but you shouldn't have multiple merchants because then again a markup every time a merchant touches it, right, there's an additional profit margin that's placed in there and the price will go up. So we don't want this to go up, the pricing to move up, but rather want eggs to remain cheap.
You could in theory have a situation where the poor peddler buys it from a farmer for a very cheap price, then it goes to a town where they're selling it for a very expensive price, and he's going to, and in order to not disturb their equilibrium, he's going to have to raise his price beyond 100% profit.
I assume over there it's fine. I think here we're talking about that there, it's like almost like a cartel or something that they're allowing them to move the price up more than the normal profit. You know, I mean, they normally allow you a shtut above your costs. Here allowing you almost 100%, 99% above your costs in order to sell it. So I think that they're actually setting the market price rather than being dictated by the market price. Alright. Tarabanan. Matri'in al brakumatia vafilu bishabbat. When matri'in is an interesting term, and obviously machlok is subject to machlok sabishonim in other places, what matri'in means, like in Tanit and other places. Here you see that the Rashbam says matri'in is bitfilah, is with davening, is through davening. Others, of course, the other option would be, matri'in is literally, right, to blow the shofar, and to announce, and to make a big issue. So the Rishonim disagree in other places about what matri'in is. So either it's tefillah, it's the daven, or it's to blow the shofar, or possibly, like David suggested, to announce, or make known about the issue. But the problem is here, of course... Right. So that's matri'in al parkamachi, afilu b'shabbat. So that's the question. The question is that it's... Right. So afilu b'shabbat... No, afilu b'shabbat is how could you blow the shofar on Shabbat, unless it was sakanat fashot or something that was, right, a serious issue. And even there, it's questionable whether you could do such a thing on Shabbos. So that's what drives those Rishonim that don't say, right, shofar and others, to say that it's a tefillah. On the other hand, David makes the point, which is the other tzad, which is tefillah doesn't require what's special about the tefillah on Shabbos. You could daven any time. It might be that the uniqueness of this tefillah is that you're allowed to make requests, where we are davening for a specific outcome on Shabbos, which we normally don't do, as opposed to on a chol. But here, it's matri'in al pragmatia is on, it's very interesting, on pricing. This is on the market price of items has fallen so much that nobody's making money anymore, that there is a problem with business, so the market price is now... There's a mix here. Because we've said until now, all the Gemarot have been forced, you know, focused on protecting the consumer, bringing pricing down so that everybody, you know, be easier for people to live and to live in Eretz Yisrael. Be easier on the poor and easier to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now all of a sudden we have this idea that we're going to dive into raise pricing. So Rashbam distinguishes and says that the prakamatia over here is items that are luxury goods, not items that are within the basic basket. I mean, things that are in basic basket, we want to keep the pricing down. But items that the aniyim wouldn't otherwise buy, there we want the pricing to be high enough that people actually profit or make money, so they have actually with what to make a living. So he distinguishes between basic and staple products, which we want to keep the pricing down, versus these products where we want to keep a stable, profitable market price. And that's what they're diving for over here, so that there is what to earn a living with in Eretz Yisrael. Well, we would say that... you want large merchants or people who are active in these markets to be successful because they provide large employment, they spend money. And that's true in any economy. We don't want to see, even though they're, you know, everybody would love it if all the prices went down, but we know if all these companies go out of business that there's nobody to employ anymore. All right. I'm Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says exactly, go klei pishtan bebavel, v'yayin v'shemen be'eretz Yisrael. So which is interesting. He says, like the klei pishtan in Bavel, that we want it to be stable. But then yayin and shemen in Eretz Yisrael is interesting because again, before we said those were staple products that we wanted to keep the price down. And now he's mentioned them as products that you could allow, according to the Rashbam, allow the pricing to rise. Now, the Amar of Yossi qualifies, v'hu d'zal, become a sarab shita. That's only if there's been a 40% reduction in what was the market price of these items. So you have to reach, the Rashbam says almost 50%, almost cut in half. The pricing is almost cut in half, then you can already daven that the pricing should stabilize and maybe return to a better level where people can make some money. So that would indicate that, for instance, today, that you can daven for housing prices in America, right? Because they've reached that threshold where it's already, you know, down 40%, and that they could look for stabilization in pricing.
There are two reasons why prices could drop: because of increase of supply and because of deflation.
Right.
So it would be universal tefillah if it was deflation.
Right.
No one wants deflation.
Right. That is, it seems to be here. We're going to see in a second. The Gemara is going to qualify whether it's deflation. If the pricing becomes exorbitant, right, to the point where it's impossible to buy or purchase goods, then you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. I mean, if it becomes a, right? Alright, so if you reach a point where there's a Rav Baaretz, or it's impossible to make a living here, I mean, that's one of the reasons that the Gemara gives as a qualification for leaving Eretz Yisrael. But if it's so expensive to live here, it's impossible to live here, then you're allowed to leave. So that's, you see, the Gemara's beforehand were indicating we want to keep the pricing down and stable so people can live here, because otherwise they're going to leave if it's impossible to live here. So Rav Shimon, Emetai, B'zman Shein Motzei Likach. Right, that's the problem is that's only when you don't find anything to buy. I mean that if the problem is, this is what Tzvi was discussing before, that if the problem is that there's no supply, and right, that's why the pricing is going up, then you can leave Eretz Yisrael because that problem will be solved somewhere else. If the supply is there, but nevertheless, then the pricing is high, then even if it's a sub seller, lo yitze, you shouldn't go out, because that's a market-based issue. I mean, it's a price issue that these products are scarce everywhere. It's not a... Right, meaning that it's not either the scarcity everywhere or the pricing has gone up everywhere. Whereas if it's unique to Eretz Yisrael, which means that there's no supply in Eretz Yisrael, then you're allowed to leave. Meaning that if there's nothing available, but if it's available and the prices are just high, but it's available, that tells you something about the product rather than the Eretz Yisrael. And it's a supply-based issue that is unique to the location, that they can't get supply here, so that's why the price is high. But if the item is readily available and the price is still high, that's indicative of a universal problem with the product. I mean that if oil, right, is readily available but the price is high, that's because the price is high everywhere in the world. It's not unique to this location. Whereas if there's no oil found here and that's why the price is high, then by going somewhere else you will rectify the problem, because then where there is supply you can get the item at a cheaper price. The other thing is interesting that the Rashbam over here says, why shouldn't you leave Eretz Yisrael? Shmafkia atzmo min ha-mitzvot, right? Because you lose the mitzvot. Now that could be for one of two reasons, right? That could be either because you lose out the mitzvot of kliyot ba'aretz, or it could be like the medrash or the shittas Rashi that's quoted, right? That when one leaves Eretz Yisrael, then do mitzvot shiyu mitztanin b'mitzvot. You do practice runs outside of Eretz Yisrael, but the real mitzvot are mikuyam. The mitzvot are really in Eretz Yisrael. So you don't want to leave. We want to stay as hard long as we can here in Eretz Yisrael. All right, now. וכן היה רבי שמעון יוחאי אומר, אלימלך מחלון בקליון גדולי הדור היו, ופרנסי הדור היו. That from Megillat Rut, Elimelech, Makalon, and Kilion were the leaders of the generation, and they were wealthy. They were helped support the generation. Why did they meet such a horrible death where they die, all of them die out in Stei Moav? They left Eretz Yisrael. That's why they were punished. So all the city was in amazement over Ruth and Naomi when they return. They're called Beit Lechem when they return. Looks at them and Tomar Hazot Naomi. What does it mean? Hazot Naomi. Ma Hazot Naomi. Amar Yitzchak Amar Chazitim Naomi Shiatzat Me'aretz LeChutzlarz. Did you see Naomi who went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlarz? Ma'al Tala. What happened to her? I mean that they were looking at the outcome of their actions, and when she returns, they realize what the punishment was for leaving Eretz Yisrael. That on the day that Ruth returns to Eretz Yisrael, Boaz's wife dies. Before the niftar has passed away, that there is already appointed someone who will take over in his house, and that the leader, someone who will be mefakeach on the family or on the nechassim. So to over here, just like when Boaz has lost his wife that day, the trufa, the refuah, is already there. That's what the Ashram says, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is makdim the refuah l'makah, and so therefore Hashem, people should believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, should have bitachon, that Hashem will take care. So over here, Boaz lost his wife, but Ruth HaMoviah was already coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabba Baravuna, Amar Rav, Ibtzan ze Boaz. Ibtzan, which is found, he's one of the Shoftim, found in Sefer Shoftim, has about three lines written about him. The Gemara says that Ibtzan, because he was from Beit Lechem, is also Boaz. Maikum Ashvulan. Okay, great. That he is Boaz, what does that tell us? Does that tell us anything about it? Ki idach Rabba Baravuna, it helps us with the other item of Rabba Baravuna. Amar Rabba Baravuna, Amar Rav, Meve Sri Mishnaot, Asa Boaz Lebanav. That 120 feast Boaz made for his children. This is assuming that Boaz is Ibtzan, right? Shenemar, because it says about Ibtzan, Vayidlo Shloshim Banim, he had 30 sons. Ushlonim Shloshim Banot Shilach Chutzah, he had 30 daughters who he married out. Ushloshim Banot Evila Banam Minachutz, and he had 30 women that he took, or daughters-in-law that he took for those sons that were there. Vayishpotet Yisrael Sheva Shanim, that he judged, he was a shofet for 7 years. And each one of these weddings, right, which is his sons who married out, had daughter-in-laws come in, and his daughters that he married out, he did two mishtaot, he made two parties, or two seudot, one in the father's house, and one in the, right, the father-in-law's house. So the two seudot, the Rashbam claims is sudat erusin, and the sudat nisuim. Because here with the Rusim, he says, is a mitzvah, which is interesting. And Sudat Nisuim is Kol Shivat Yimishtei Karei Suda Achat. All the 7 days of Sheva Brachos were considered or classified as one Seuda. Uvukulan lo zimenet Manoach, which is very interesting. And all of them he did not invite Manoach. Manoach is the father of Shimshon. Amar kudna akara b'may barley. Says this empty barrel, meaning he has no children. If he has no children, if I invite him to all my mishtaot, there's no payback. I get nothing back in return because I will not, he'll never invite me back. He doesn't have a kid. Wow. Right? So that's right. It's very strange. Again, assigning this to Boaz is also extremely strange. The
Polish woman.
Right? V'chulan, and that's what the Gemara says. The continuation of this, that's what was the outcome of this type of behavior, is that they all died in his lifetime. In your lifetime that you gave birth to 60, meaning that either the 60, why did you have 60 kids? Or 60 means because he also took, he had daughter-in-laws and, right, son-in-laws. So that would be 60. Ichbel ba'olid chad, afterwards you took a second wife and had one child, the mishitin zaris, it's better than all the other 60. And most of the Girsot read here, or the way the Rashi explains it, that the one child is, right, born out of Ruth and Boaz, right? It's the child of Ruth and Boaz. There's some that read this as Shimshon. That what were all those 60 worth? That the one child that Manoach has was better than the 60 that Ibtzan had. Although the Rashbam rejects that explanation, but from the flow of the Gemara, it seems more like what the Rashbam is suggesting, that this is referring to the child of Boaz and Ruth that was better than all the other 60 that passed away that he had before. So Amarav Chanan Barav Amarav Elimelech V'Salmon Uploni Almoni V'Avi Na'ami Kulam B'nei Nachshon Ben Aminadav. They're all children of B'nei Nachshon Ben Aminadav. Now, not literally children of B'nei Nachshon Ben Aminadav, otherwise they'd have problems getting married, Elimelech and Naomi. But they're all descendants of Nachshon Ben Aminadav. Maikum Ashvelon. So what does that teach you? That's an amazing line here. Shafilu mi sheyesh lo zchut avot, eno omeret lo b'shar sheyotzei me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. That even if you have zchut avot, that does not protect you when you leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz, because Noami and Elimelech were both from Nachshon ben Aminadav, who had tremendous zchut avot, and yet when they left Eretz Yisrael, they were punished severely. V'amar Rav Chanan Barav Amar Rav, imei d'Avram amat lai bat karnevo. That Avram's mother's name is Amatlai or Amatliaz in other places, Bat Karnevo, the daughter of Karnevo. This word is some sort of sheep or wool that is mentioned here. Eme de Haman, the mother of Haman, is Amatlai Bat Urbani, or Bati. That she's a Matlai, had the same name as Avram's father, a mother, but she had a different father. I mean, the maternal grandfather was a different name. For Avram, it was Karnevo, and for Haman, it was Orvati. The simanech, tamei tamei, tor tor. And the siman is because an orev is a tamei bird, and therefore Haman, who came at him, was tamei. And Karnevo is, again, some sort of kareem pillows or tzon, right? It's a sheep, and therefore which is tahor, and that's where Avram descended from. So that was the positive side of Avram. Imei de David, nitzevet bat adael shema. Mother of David is nitzevet bat adael. Imei de Shimshon, stalfonit. That Shimshon's mother is Telfonit from Yehuda, Vachatei Nashian, and his sister was Nashian. My nafkamina, what does it matter who their mothers were? Right? I mean, why does this matter at all? So the Gemara says the Tshuvat Aminim. It's very interesting. It's to answer the Minim. So that's those that don't believe. I mean, that the Rashbam goes through each of these individuals, and their mothers play a central role or seem to be important to their development. And therefore, the Minim also, why, do you know who they are? Do you know who their mother was? Like, for instance, Eshet Manoach by Shimshon, right? Where we don't have, her name is never mentioned. So she plays a central role in that whole story, and they keep mentioning her. So they want to know, do you know who she was? What's her name? And also in some of the other cases, right, he goes through and explains why it's important that we mention their names. But again, it's to answer the Shuvat Aminim, Shoshalanu lo nonu yoter be'elum nashim acherot. They always ask about these women, because these are important figures, and we want to know what we should answer them. So we should know, we tell them that we have a Masorah Baal Peh, we know who their mothers were. So you should know that the Torah Baal Peh tells us who their mothers are. Alright. Avram Avinu was imprisoned for 10 years, either by his father or by Nimrod, one of the two. Shlosh bekuta v'sheva bekardo. Three in this place called Kuta, seven in Kardo. Rav Dimi Marada Matna Yipcho is the opposite way around. Seven in Kuta and three in Kardo. What's the difference? So Amar Rav Chista, I'll tell you what the difference is. Ivra Zeira de Kuta. This small. I don't know if this, you could either say the small bridge or the small suburb, or the name of the place is Ivra Zira Dakuta. That's the name of the place. Zeu Ur Kasdim. That's a place called Ur Kasdim. My nafkamina. It's amazing. The Rashbam says, someone who sees that place, Tarech Levarech Baruch Shasanisim Levatenu Bamakom Hazeh, has to make a bracha that Hashem did a nace for our forefathers in this place, because that's where Avram was flown into the, right, the Ish, right, into the Ish in Ur Kasdim. So if we know the location of Ur Kasdim, you have to make a bracha when you go there, that the nace was done to our forefathers in that location.
The question might have given, isn't why, the difference between 3 and 7, 7 and 3, it's just why who cares exactly where they were?
Yeah, I mean, why does it matter where the location of where he was imprisoned? Well, where he's imprisoned is where he was thrown into the fire. If that's the case, then we know where that is today. If we know where that is, you make a bracha al anisim. V'amar Rav Chanan Barav, Amar Rav, Oto Yom Shniftar Avram Avinu Min Olam, Amdu Kol Adol Eumot Olam Vishura. That when Avram passed away, it was not just a loss for his family or for the Jews, but a loss for the world as a whole. Vamro, Olo Lolam Shavad Manigo, woe is the world that's lost its leader, Olo La Sfina Shavad Kavrininita, that has lost its, or Kavrininita, has lost its captain. Right, that the ship has lost its captain. I think the message is clear that Avram, we know that we did this when we did the Gerim, right, about whether they can say Avotenu. Avram switched from being the Avram to Avamon Goyim. Avram is seen as the forefather, but a forefather in just, not just in the sense of a forefather of a nation, but also a forefather of monotheism and a forefather of Stakom Mishpat, of ethics and ethical behavior. So therefore he has a universal message, and therefore if Avram passes away, it's a loss for the whole world. It's not just a loss for the Jews in particular. Now, v'mitnasei l'chol rosh, so they say this every morning, this is the Vayivarech David that we say, right, that's quoted out of Divrei Yamim. So what does it mean, v'mitnasei l'chol rosh? Right, so v'mitnasei points every rosh. So Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, which is not related to the flow of the Gemara till now, but it's the same, right, it's the same person making each of these statements, therefore we include it here. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav, I feel reish gar guta mishmaya mukmile. So we saw this before, the reish gar guta we saw in Gemara and Bava Metzia. Reish gar guta is the one who determines whose turn it is to draw the water from the water sources. I mean, it's some small
job.
He's ahead of some little thing. So even like a little item like that a person is appointed to be ahead is done mina shemayim. That's all determined mina Kodesh Baruch Hu. That nobody's appointed without the guidance of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Amar Rav Chir ba'Avin, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Chas v'Shalom, right, that it should be, what's the, Chas v'Shalom, she'afilu matzu subim, lo yatzu. So even if they had found the bran, stuff that's not for human consumption, only for animal consumption, that Elimelech and his children would not have left Eretz Yisrael. So that was not the issue. Ela mipnei ma nenshu. What's the problem? Shaya lehen levakesh rachamim adoram lo bikshu. that they should have asked for rachamim, they should have davened for things to get better, and they didn't do that. Shenemar b'zakech, right? Yatziluch kibutzayich. Now, truthfully, the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is almost the exact opposite. Right? This is actually from Yeshayahu. It's actually the pasuk right before what we read in the Haftorah for Yom Kippur, right? Of Salu Salu Panu Derech. This is the pasuk right before. But over there it says, "V'zakech yatzilech kubitzayach." When you call out to all those that around you to help you, that it won't work, right? And but you have to call out to Hashem. Hashem's the only one who can help you. But over here, the Gemara is saying, "No, v'zakech yatziluch kibutzayach." When you call out about those that are around you, right? Then yatziluch, Hashem will save you and take care. I mean that there's a value to having tefillah for those that are around you. If you see the Rabbeinu Gershom says, "Kishtizach v'titvallel al kibutzayach, and nikbatzim imach." You pray for those that live amongst you. V'yarcha miyad ataneneh. You'll be answered. V'tiyatan itzol imahem, and you'll be enjoined with them. Shezchutan misayatech. Right? Their zchut will enjoy it with your zchut, and therefore together you'll be able to generate a hatzalah for the community, and you'll be saved along with them. So therefore, their fact that they walked out on the community, right, was a bad sign. They should have davened with the community rather than taking care of themselves. They're going to save Moab, they took care of themselves, and they left the community behind. And what do we see in the end? Who was saved? In the end, those that stayed in Eretz Yisrael were saved because, right, Beit Lechem in the end was Nifkad. They had food when they came back. When Naomi comes back to Eretz Yisrael, there's food in that area. Whereas where they went, right, in the end, they all die out and stay Moab. So this is what I was referencing before. Lo shanu ela ma'ot bizol uperot biyoker. The only case is where the problem is a inflationary problem. There's a lack of supply. Their pricing's high, but people have money. But aval ma'ot biyoker, if money is not in supply, afolu amdu arba sayim b'sela yotzin. If there's no way to make parnosa, I mean, if there's no way to get money, then it doesn't matter how cheap the produce is in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to stay there. I mean that no matter how much deflation you have or how low the pricing is, if you can't find the money with which to purchase such product, then we say you can leave Eretz Yisrael because it doesn't matter how cheap it is, you can't stay here. It's impossible for you to stay here. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, which is the pricing's high, but right, you are able to make parnasa, then you can stay in Eretz Yisrael. That's just a factor. I mean, the factor of the pricing, that will fluctuate and it will eventually come down, but the fact you can make parnasa is a good enough reason to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Nehirna, I remember, means like Zechirna, I remember, Kalavu Kaimim, Arba Sayim Besel, I remember that pricing, when things were so cheap, meaning that there was deflation, meaning there was tremendous deflation in the world, Vabba Nefishe, Nefiche Kafan B'Tiveria, right, Medelei Tisar, and there were many people who were passing away from hunger, famine, in Tiveria, because there was no way to make parnosa. I mean, again, in that idea that in a deflationary environment, right? This is what you were talking about before. It's to be when there's a tremendous deflationary environment, right? And there's no ability to make a living, to produce revenue, then there's a problem. It doesn't matter how cheap the prices get, it's not people are unable to make parnasa in order to purchase. And that's why there were so many people passing away. So once we're on
there's a correlation between the prices and the money that people have.
Somewhat, right. It depends how far. That's what Tzvi was mentioning before. That meaning that lower prices are good to a point. But once it becomes a deflationary environment, then it causes problems because then people are unable to make a profit. They're unable to make a living in a deflationary environment. All assets then are depreciating. And that causes a problem where it doesn't matter how cheap it is, nobody can buy it.
Right.
I think that the Gemara has been on both sides of this. I mean, the Gemara says we want to keep the staple products low, we want to keep pricing low, but here the Gemara acknowledges that we don't want deflation that causes people to not have a parnasa. So that's what I think when referring back before to the Gemara, if you match these two together, I think you come up with a balanced view of what they were trying to create. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, once we're on memory lane, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, here now I remember, Kadohavo Mitkar Mitgarin, Paulia, that the place when they wouldn't hire workers, the Midnach Karta, on the eastern side of the city, or people refused to work on the eastern side of the city, Mireach Pita, Maitin, because they used to smell on the eastern side of the city, the western wind used to blow to that side of the city, the smell of the bread being baked, and those people were having so much trouble getting hired, and they were so poor that they were starving, so they would not work on the eastern side of the city, because the smell of the good bread would cause them to pass out, to faint or die, and therefore they refused to work on the eastern side of the city. So he remembers. Rabbi Yochanan here, and I also remember Katavu Batza, Yinoka, Charuva. I remember the time when kids used to cut a charuv, a carob, a negid, a squirt out of it, a spurt out of it, chuta de duvshana, a duvsha, a spurt of honey used to come shooting out of the carob. I'll train Darohi on his two arms, meaning that the fruits were so blessed. I used to see when a raven used to come and pick up meat, right, in our city, when a gid chuta de mishcha, and it would spurt out of it a stream of fat, meshurad al ara, from the top of the wall to the bottom of the wall. And again, I don't know if this is, seems to be talking about the good times over here. And that before you were talking about the bad times, and now he's remembering the good times when the fruits were sown into barech and the meat was fat, which is a positive in their day, so that everything was good. So we're remembering those good times. Rabbi Yochanan here now, Kadhavu Mitailin, Talia, Bataliota, Beshuka, Kavashit, Esrev, Kavashva, Esrev, Lavi Chatan. This is relevant to today. Yochanan says that I remember a day when 16 and 17 year old boys and girls used to be together in the shuk and there was no problems. And that they were able to mingle. The sex were able to mingle and it wasn't an issue, right? But nowadays, unfortunately, he says that nowadays we can't have that anymore because these 16, 17 year olds, when they're together, no good comes from that. So Rabbi Yochanan, here and I remember, I remember when they used to say in the Beis Medrash, those that agree to, that meaning the Odei Kuchavim, that acquiesce to their ways or their policies, now Philbi Adon will fall in their hands, right? Will fall to pray to them, or Philbi Adon, it means that they will take over. They will rule over us. Mitrachitz has come from, we say this when you take out the Torah, Be'anel Rachitz, right? Rachitz means if you rely on them, right, or you're secure in them, then delay to home. All that is yours will become theirs. Meaning that either if you rely on them to let them in your house and see what's there, they'll come in and rob you. Or the other way around is that if you trust them so much that you think that they're the savior, they're the way, that in the end they'll take everything that you have. Uktiv machlom kilyon in Ruth, Sefer Ruth calls the machlom kilyon. Uktiv yoash v'saraf. That's in Divrei Yamim as children of Yehuda. The Rav Ushmo, Chadamar Machlom Mikulyon Shman, that their real names are Machlom Mikulyon. Velamani Krashman, right? Why are they called Yoash and Visaraf? Yoash in Ashumina Gula. They gave up hope of the Gula. Saraf Shin Chaibus Rifala Makom, because they gave hope of a Kodesh Baruch Hu saving his Am, and therefore they left Eretz Yisrael, so they were Nisraf. They were entitled, or they should have been, punished with Sreifa, and that's why they died. Chadamar Yoash Visaraf Shman, their real names are Yoash Visaraf. Velamani Kodesh Shman Machlom Mikulyon. Machlon shenasu gufan chulin, they made their bodies chulin, and I assume that's because they left Eretz Yisrael. They made themselves chulin by leaving Eretz Yisrael. Bikulyon shenichaviu klaya lemakom, so that's why they were then chayav mita, because they made their bodies chulin by leaving Eretz Yisrael. Ktani kerman damar machlon mikulyon shman, there's a brisa that supports that. The tanya maidichti v'yokim v'anshei kuzeva v'yoash v'saraf asher ba'alu l'moab v'yashuvi lochem. It's a strange pasuk in Divrei Yamim. It's going through the descendants of Yehuda. It's interesting, these are descendants of Sheila. Right there, the Divrei Yamim is listing out descendants of Sheila. And over there it calls them, it says v'yokim v'anshei kuzeva, and then Yoash and Saraf, which were the two that we mentioned before, Asher Balu the Moav. Now Balu the Moav over here means that they went and they ruled over, or they were authorities over Moav, v'yashuvi lachem, in the place of Shavi lachem. Now the Gemara is not going to learn it that way. The Gemara is going to say, Asher Balu the Moav is what? That they took wives from Moav. So Vadvarim Atikim, and these are ancient words, or ancient items, and it's a very enigmatic, right, ambiguous statement in the Pasuk. So now the Gemara is going to interpret it. Yokim ze Yoshua. This is Yoshua. Shekim shvu'alan she givon. Why is he called Yokim? It's because Yoshua, that he was made a shvu'ah to the people of Givon. Now we know Yoshua is not from Yehuda, right? Yeshua is from Ephraim. So why is it mentioning it over here? So he says, the Rambam says that his mother was from Yehuda. And we see that many times, and that actually happens in Divrei Yamim. It's not so outlandish that even people whose mothers are from Yehuda are still included in the list of Yehuda. We have that with some of Chatzi Shevet Menashe, Chelik of Yair. Ben Menashe is really not from Menashe, but rather from Yehuda, but his mother was from Menashe, and therefore they place him with the children of Menashe. Alright, Anshei Kuziva, who are the Anshei Kuziva? Elo Anshei Givon. Shekazvu bi Yoshua. They said the people of Gibeon who lied to or cheat, you know, me tricked Yoshua. Not that they're from Yehuda, but they're relevant in the pasuk. All right. So that's what we saw before. Why is Shir Balul Moav? Shnasu Nashim Moaviot. They married women from Moav. V'yoshvei lochem, it's not really yoshvei, it's here, it's v'yashuvi lochem, but over here they're going to play on yoshvei lochem or yoshuvi lochem, those that return to Beit Lechem. Zu wrote to Amovia, sheshava nidbika be-Beit Lochem Yehuda, that she returns to Beit Lechem, it becomes part of Beit Lechem Yehuda, so she becomes part of Shevet Yehuda. These things that are the old, one of old, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said them, because it says, Matzati David Avdi, right? And Vichtiv, Shtei Benotayach HaNimtzaot. Right? So there, the word Matzah is used both by David and by the Benot Lot. So since it's used in both places, right, that is, see some reference between the two of them that actually from Moab and Ammon will come out the, what? The lineage of David or Malchei David. So as we see Mimukayam over here, where Ruta Movia goes back and becomes part of Chelek Yehuda. So as opposed to Machlon Mikulyon, who were left behind Yehuda and they went to Moab, here you have them going back from Moab to, she goes back and becomes a part of Shevet Yehuda by marrying Boaz. Alright, Hema Ayotzrim, V'yoshvei Nitaim, Ugdera, Imamelech Melachto Yeshuvu Sham. So again, this is a continuation. It's the next pasuk in Divrei Yamim, after that, V'yokim Yoshua. So it says, Hema Ayotzrim, they are the potters, V'yoshvei Nitaim, Ugdera, they live in Nitaim and Gdera, Imamelech Melachto Yeshuvu Sham, they live amongst where the king does his work. So Hema Ayotzrim, Elu Bnei Yonadav Ben Rechav, or Rechav, really. Right? Rechav. Rechav, right? He's a figure in Yirmiyahu. He's in the Mashal. Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yirmiyahu and says, why don't you go call the children of Yonadab ben Rechav and ask them why they don't drink wine and why they don't live in cities. So they said their father told them that if you want to live a long life, don't drink wine and don't live in the cities. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Kali, so you see this, that their forefather told them not to do something, and they listen, and you can't listen to a word that I'm saying. Anyway, so that's what it's talking about. So these are the Bnei Yonadab ben Rechav, that they do not, that they protected or guarded the Shua of their father. That's why they're called the Yotzrim. Yoshvei Nitaim, Zeh Shlomo, Shodomel Netaniyah B'malchuto. That he's like a Netiyah, it's like a sapling or something that grows, a tree that grows and expands. That is, Malchut expands and expands, and his name, his shame gets bigger, and things only get better for him. Ugdu Gdeira Zusanhedrin, Shigadru Pritzotem Shal Yisrael. This is Sanhedrin who protects, makes Siagim the Torah in order to protect Klal Yisrael. Ima Melech Malachto Yeshvu Sham, Zurut Amoviyah, who sat along with the king being Shlomo HaMelech, who sat with him? The matriarch of the family, Rut HaMoviyah, Shirata B'machut Shlomo Ben Beno Shem Ben Bina. She saw her great-great-grandchild, she saw his kingdom come to fruition, and she sat there, that they put a throne for the mother of the king. So who's the mother of the king? Right, the question of who the mother of the king is, that Batsheva? Or is the mother of the king? And this is what the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar le'ima shel Malchut. Not to the, literally the mother of the king, but the mother of the kingdom, or all of the kings. Who's the mother of all kings? That is Rut HaMoaviyah, and therefore she sat there along with the Shlomo HaMelech. Derabanan, v'chalta min ha'tuvah yashan. Right, so what does it mean, b'yashan? Below Salmanotan. My below Salmanotan. What means I won't have Salmanotan? I wonder if this is a derivative of Salmonella. Rav Nachan Amar, below Ritzinata. Not with Ritzinata. So, okay, great. Now, what is Ritzinata? So the Gemara says, the Rashi explains that Ritzinata is that it won't rot or go bad. Right, that it doesn't have worms and other items that go into it that cause it to rot. Or Sheshet Amar below Shtifa, that it will not be Shtifa, which means that it will not have the heat and the wind will not blow over it and cause it. Right, Shtufin, that we have Shtufot Kadim, that's mentioned by Yosef, by the dreams of Paro, that they're ruined, the crops are ruined by the hot wind that blows and causes them to dry out and wilt. So that means that they won't have it. When you eat from the Ashan, means that they won't be wilted. So Tanya Kavasi Rav Sheshet, Tanya Kavasi Rav Nachman. We have a price like each of them. Tanya Kavasi Rav Nachman. Then Yashan Yechol Yisrael Mitzapim Lechadash Mipnei Yashan Shikala. You would think that Bnei Yisrael are waiting for the new to come, because the old has been used up already. That you won't be waiting. The Neshan will still be good until the new Tevah comes. What does it mean that Kila, that it was all used up? Because it was used up, because it got ruined. Meaning that it got eaten by the worms. So therefore you're waiting for the new stuff, because everything else has been rotted, and it's no good anymore. So here you see the price. He says, no, they won't be like that. That's the bracha. V'chatam Yerushan Loshan is meaning that you'll still be eating the old stuff. It won't be rotted, and the new stuff will come by itself. Tanya Kavasi Rav Sheshi V'chatam Min HaTevuah Min HaYashan Yachol Yisrael Metzapim L'Chadash Min HaYashan Ra. You would think that they're waiting for it because the Yashan is bad. What do you mean bad? Bad means that it was never good. Meaning that the old stuff they put into storage, it was all wilted and dried out. There was nothing really to work with. So therefore we say no. Until it comes by itself, you will eat from the yashan until it comes to the nutvuah. Anything that's aged is better. Aging is good. That's only true of items that normally age and they get better. Even things that don't normally age, nevertheless, when they're old, they'll be good here. So Hashem says, even fruits and items that normally, right, would rot, over here, when they get older and they age, they'll be good in these instances. Right, that you will take out old from the new. That the storehouses were full of old. And the threshing floors are full of new. You have nowhere to put them. There's an abundance. There's an overabundance of what we have. What are we going to have to take the old out from the new? Everything that ages is good except for three things. One is dates, right? Shichra is beer, and harsno is some sort of fish hash that doesn't get better with time. So these three things, when they age, they don't necessarily get any better. So again, the two possibilities. This bracha of Yashan Oshan means that the Yashan will always be good for the 3 years that you need them. That's for, right, Erev Shvi'it, Shvi'it, and then Motzei Shvi'it. And before you will take out Yashan Mipnei Achadash, right, that you'll be able all the stuff that you store up will be good, and you'll be able to eat it from the Yashan, not because you're waiting for the new stuff to come, but because the old stuff is so good and it's preserved that it wasn't blown out, see the phone, it wasn't rotted. You'll have it all the way along, and you won't have to go and harvest stuff quickly in the next year and have to roast it because it's so raw. No, you can be able to wait for the old new stuff to come in because you have so much plentiful in the old stuff. All right, we'll stop over here.